Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dude dogs damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Oh, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lou Gehrig is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lou Gehrig on The Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lou Gehrig. Loogie. We have finally arrived. The trade deadline is here. The day of the trade deadline is here, and we already have some major trades that we need to discuss over the next 5 hours. But we'll start with the Yankees, who made a lot of noise on Sunday, not only winning 2 out of 3 over the Cubs, which was a well-pitched series, a playoff-like atmosphere series, and a feather in the cap of the Yankees as they finished off, which was a tough schedule on the road. Very tough. And the Yankees were able to navigate the waters and have a winning road trip. So credit to them as they come back home to play the Cardinals. But they also made a lot of news with a trade that they made. And Brian Cashman deserves a lot of credit for this one. And that is Luis Garcia, who I've heard a lot of people ask questions, well, where does he fit? How does this, you know, this player figure into the Yankees' plans as far as position and things of that nature? Look, the Yankees needed to get bats. When they looked at Skubal and Miller and bats, like, that was three categories. For me, as great as Skubal is, as great as Miller is, and I still would be stunned if Miller got traded, the top priority for Brian Cashman and for the Yankees is offense, bats, because this offense is so anemic, because you have a lot of dead outs, because Grisham is giving you nothing, because the shortstop position is giving you nothing, because the catcher position has given you nothing, because Dominguez has been more style than substance, because McMahon is not giving you anything, because you don't know if Stanton or Judge are coming back, and if they do come back, you don't know what versions of Stanton and Judge you're getting. So because of all of that, offense, offense, offense needed to be top priority. Not pitching. The Yankees have a championship rotation. They have a, let's be real here, championship bullpen. Now, they've traded away a couple bullpen pieces, but they were bad bullpen pieces, so they're going to have to get an arm to replace those arms, but they're not going to get the likes of a Miller. It's a championship rotation. You didn't need Skubal. If you can't win it all with a Schlitler, with a Fried, with a Cole, it was about offense. It was about this team come October having the hitters to go toe-to-toe and beat the Rays and beat the surging, and they've been surging for a while, and they just completed a sweep of the Dodgers, Red Sox, and to get to the World Series and then take down the National League representative. You needed a catcher, you needed multiple bats, I think, in the infield, and you needed an outfield bat. And Garcia goes a long way in helping this offense. So don't worry about the fit. Cashman needed the best available bat. And Garcia, at least the way it's trending now, is going to be the best offensive player that got traded. He's having a career year. He's having an incredible season at the plate. And what I love about Garcia is he hits for a high average, and he doesn't strike out a lot. And those are two things that I've been talking about for weeks when it comes to the Yankees. When it pertains to players that Brian Cashman needed to trade for, I wanted offensive players that didn't strike out and hit for a high average. You know, Luis Arraez obviously is the poster child for that. A guy that hits well north of 300, strikes out under 50 times, you know, basically year in and year out, and he's having an all-world season as far as those categories go for the Giants. And he certainly would make a lot of sense for the Yankees. But the thing about Garcia is he's not going to hit for the average that Arraez hits for, and he's obviously going to strike out more than Luis Arraez because everybody in baseball basically does. But Garcia adds something to the table that Arraez doesn't, and that is power. So you get the combination of power, average, and lack of strikeouts. Garcia doesn't solve all your problems. His splits are staggering when it comes to facing righties and facing lefties. I don't see it as a platoon situation. I don't see him as a bench player or a guy that, when I say that, meaning there will be times where he's, you know, 50% of the time he's not in the lineup. I think he's a 70 to 80% of the time in the lineup type of player. And that includes against lefties, which he struggles against because unless things change drastically in the next 12 or so hours, and they certainly might because the Yankees do have to add a lot more bats, but the way I see it right now, you're basically getting another version of Ben Rice in the lineup. You know, all those advanced metrics and Garcia's numbers are very favorable to Ben Rice's. And we know the type of MVP year that Ben Rice is having. Now, this idea of moving Garcia to second and Jazz to third, here's the problem. Garcia can't field. Defensively, he is not strong at all. And I don't want to weaken my infield defense, especially when I'm a team that the bread and butter is still going to be the pitching. And I want to be able to field the ball. I would have moved Jazz and still would for Arraez. That I would do because Arraez has become a solid, steady glove in the infield. And obviously Arraez brings so much to the table offensively as far as high average and not striking out and gives the Yankees a different wrinkle. But Garcia, he's not good defensively at second base at all. So I would not do that. Garcia, to me, he's your DH. He's your first baseman. He'll play kind of multiple roles there. And he's obviously insurance for Stanton and or Judge. Like, I think Aaron Judge is coming back. I do. I know there are some Yankee fan or some Yankee or just people in general out there, conspiracy theorists or pundits that think, hey, you know, Judge is never coming back. The Yankees have been lying to us for months. I'm not sure they know more than it is that they would be lying. Same thing with Stanton. But Stanton is an aging player. And with Garcia, another good thing about him is he's under contract next year. So you're getting a guy that is entering the prime of his career. He's having a career year. You hope that this career year, of course, continues for the next couple months, but then also goes into next year. And this is a player that's on the uptick, you know, entering his 27th, as far as age-wise, season in baseball. So you not only get him for this year, you get him for next year. And
it's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
This spells the end of Stanton, whether it's this year, next year. I just think the Yankees, and I don't blame them, have to be fed up with this. He's been out since April. Every summer, it's like the rest of us. It's summer vacation. It's summer sabbatical for Giancarlo Stanton. It's too much time missed. And as great as he is in October, and he's one of the great postseason performers in the history of the Yankees, and that is a strong statement, but it's an accurate statement. And that says a lot about Stanton in terms of his, how he handles the clutch, how much guts he has, and that the moments are not too big for him. But that being said, he's become a player at this stage where he's just not reliable at all. And Garcia's a guy that can be that reliable DH, play some first base, and if he has the year he has this year, you know, for the next couple of months and next year, he's going to provide a lot of power for the Yankees and a high average and a guy that doesn't strike out. And Luis Garcia was obviously a huge part of that Nationals offense that is one of, if not the best offenses in all of baseball, certainly statistically. So I'm not going to get nuts with the fit. I'm not going to get nuts with, well, what would you do here? What do you do there? You platoon him with Goldschmidt? Don't worry about that. What you need to focus on is the fact that this is a big-time bat, a offense that needed a jolt, that needed a big-time bat. They need several, but it's a good start. They needed a player like Garcia who hits for a high average, doesn't strike out a lot, and he's on a heater, he's on a tear, he's having the best season of his career. And ever since June 1st, he has the most homers in baseball. He's neck and neck with Hunter Goodman. And when you add that with the type of player like Ben Rice, I mean, you are going to mash right-handed pitching. Now, Garcia against lefties, that's a whole other ballgame. He struggles mightily against them. And we know that Goldschmidt, throughout his career, has been really good against left-handed pitching. Garcia struggles against left-handed pitching. The Yankees still need to add more bats to figure out a way to take down left-handed pitching. But that's why you still have till 6 o'clock today to add more players, to add another catcher. And the buzz and the rumor mill and the momentum towards an Adley Rutschman trade seems to be building each hour here, and we'll keep you posted. This is the premier show, After Hours is, for breaking news on WFAN. And on a day like trade deadline day, wouldn't stun me at all in the next 5 hours that a move goes down. Another outfielder would make a lot of sense. Another infielder here would make a lot of sense. The Yankees need to come away from this deadline 24 hours from now when all the dust is settled with multiple bats. Multiple impact bats. And they got off to Brian Cashman and the Yankees to a great start by trading for Garcia. Because of the power, because of the average, and because of the lack of strikeouts. And I wouldn't get hung up on where is he going to play, how are the Yankees going to go about this. And this idea of Ben Rice moving to catcher, which I was in support of over the offseason. I thought it made a lot of sense because you would have such an offensive advantage with Rice at catcher. And I wanted the Yankees to make a big play for a first baseman. That was kind of my offseason plans for them. And even at times this year with Austin Wells struggling, which is an understatement. I mean, Austin Wells is having the worst season maybe ever of any player in baseball history. But when I thought about it, maybe not more, but deeper, I realized that especially once Stanton went down, once Judge went down, Bellinger is out. But with all these injuries, the last thing you want to do is put Ben Rice, the guy from day one here who's been your best player, especially now with Judge out of the lineup, and this season I'm saying, the last thing you want to do is put Ben Rice behind the plate and put him at risk of getting injured. It's just not worth it. It's not. And Jack Curry on Sunday shot down any sort of thought and feeling that Ben Rice would now move behind the dish because you have Luis Garcia to be the role of Ben Rice as far as that lefty first base DH option. The Yankees are going to trade for a catcher. They're going to get a professional catcher in the next 12 to 15 hours. Whether it's Rutschman, whether it's somebody else. And I mean, Jeffers feels less and less likely only because the Twins are playing great baseball. And that's the thing with not only the weaker American League, but also with the expanded postseason is you don't really know for a lot of teams until a couple of days before whether they're going to be buyers or sellers or stay putters, because things can change on a dime. They can change that quickly. This has been a little bit of a longer burn, or a slower burn, so to speak, but the Red Sox, by all accounts, felt like they were going to be sellers. They had already fired their manager. Their season seemed lost. And all of a sudden, they got a spark. They went on a massive winning streak. They just swept the Dodgers. And right now, the Boston Red Sox are the best team in baseball. Or certainly the hottest. And they are a force to be reckoned with. And as much as the Yankees are looking up and worried about catching Tampa, they also have to be worried about Boston, who is now right on their heels and are showing zero signs of slowing down. And that's why if you're Brian Cashman, you have to be very active here at the deadline. You have to address this offense, this struggling offense, and so far, so good. Because you got what could be the best available bat. And that was the right way to address this deadline. Not to get the best available starting pitcher, not to get the best available relief pitcher, but to get the best available bat. And then work your way from there with more bats. An outfielder, a catcher, and really you can get another infielder. There's a lot of dead weight on the Yankees that needs to be out of here. Grisham stinks. Dominguez, you know, maybe he needs a change of scenery. He's still 23 years old. McMahon is a backup. The shortstop situation is what it is. You know how I feel about Volpe. I said the Yankees should either send him down, cut him, just get rid of him. Caballero, the bloom has come off the rose a little bit. And if the Yankees could upgrade massively at shortstop, they're not going to get Pena now, and I don't know if the Astros are ever going to trade him anyway to the Yankees, but if you could have got Jeremy Pena, where do you sign for that? But if somehow the Yankees could get their hands on a Luis Arraez, that to me, and it's going to cost a pretty penny, even though Arraez is on a deal that ends at the end of the year, what are the Giants basically folding up shop and then they're not going to be a franchise next year? They could extend him. They could sign him. They could keep him. So I understand about having a high asking price, but perhaps that drops a little bit from now until 6 p.m. And if it does and it becomes a situation where the Yankees are comfortable, that's where I would move Jazz to third. And Jazz does have experience at third base. But I would not move Jazz to third for Garcia at second base because Garcia stinks at second. And I don't want to hurt myself defensively. Especially when my bread and butter is my pitching staff. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Loogie in the late night here on The Fan. We will start off with your calls on the Yankees, on the trade deadline. We will get into the Mets in the next hour, as they have moved on from Freddy Peralta. They also traded AJ Minter over the weekend. They will likely be busy over the next 12 plus hours. We'll get into Tarek Skubal and a trade that rocked baseball as he was sent to the Dodgers. We'll get into the other deals that went across the board here over the weekend and potential moves that could be on its way. That'll be over the first few hours here on After Hours as trade deadline day has arrived. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.